Let the saints of God say, amen.
Amen.
It is only by his power and his might that we live, that we move, and we have our very being. It's only by his love that we have the opportunity, the chance, and the possibility to see his face in peace. It's only because of his sacrifice that his son came and died on the cross that we may have the forgiveness of sins. And now, because of all the work that has gone on through all the centuries, we come together this morning to worship the Most High God, the only true and living God, in spirit and in truth. He loved us first. Therefore, we ought to love him. He does for us first before we can even have the opportunity to do for him. Some people are stingy when it comes to giving to God. I'm not talking about money. We all know money gets tight sometimes. We all know our money gets funny. But there are other reasons and other places by which we become stingy to God. But this morning, as Mary and Martha had that conversation a long time ago, and Jesus said, your sister chose the good part. This morning, I would like to say, you have chosen the good part. You have come out this morning to not only serve and worship the Most High God, but to encourage each and every one of us. I want to thank Brother Sperling for getting us started this morning with his invocation and calling us to worship. We'd like to thank Brother Jeremy Gray for his reading of the scripture both for us today, most profoundly in our hearing. I want to thank Brother Harris for that tremendous prayer he prayed in our behalf. Amen. The Bible tells us we ought to always pray and not give up. When it seems like all the authorities around us are telling us no, keep praying. Because when God is in the plan, they can't help but do what he wants them to do. I want to thank Brother Rutledge for the powerful and stirring song service we had this morning. And I want to thank you for lending your voices, your attention to the service so far this morning. You know, the Bible tells us that we are to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord, meaning everyone should lift up their voice and sing. This morning, if you have your copy of the world's bestseller, that book that is called the Bible, I ask that you would turn with me, please, again to 2 Corinthians, the chapter is 11, beginning with verses 30, ending with verse number 31. God didn't have to wake up this morning. He was awake while you were asleep. He's already planned a glorious and grand day today. We will have sunshine, blue skies. We'll have some clouds and some rain. We'll have some food and some shelter. We'll have some heat and some cool. And it's up to us to decide what we're going to do with the plans that God has made us. And we need to do it while it's called today. In 2 Corinthians, the chapters 11, the Apostle Paul, in writing to his Corinthian brethren, is talking about the fact that there are those that are not calling him an apostle, belittling him, putting him down. But Paul picks up the mantle and say, listen to what I have to say. And now, after his dissertation He finishes in verse number 30 and 31 and says, I must needs glory. I will glory in all the things which concern my infirmities. If you will, read with me verse number 31. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. From this scripture this morning, I would like to take a subject entitled, repeat after me, no brag, just fact. Again, no brag, just fact. Now, I guess some of you may smile and say, yeah, I heard that before. And some of you say, what in the world kind of message is this? As Ricky Ricardo would say, let me do some explaining. You know, when growing up, my grandmother, she loved her some good old cowboy pictures. And one thing I like too is to watch them, because I always love cowboys and Indians. Even would run around the neighborhood with the fellas playing cowboys and Indians. And these are some of the cowboy programs that we had way back in the day, back in the 50s and 60s. You may not remember these. Some of these may be funny names to you, but some of them are called Gunsmoke, Rawhide, Hit 'em Up, Move 'em Out, Wagon Train, Bat Masterson. Back when the West was very young, there lived a man named Masterson. Wide Earp, Sugarfoot, Easy Roping Antelope with Sugarfoot, Bronco, Cheyenne, Branded. What do you do when you're branded and you know you're a man? Bonanza, Maverick, Have Gun, Will Travel, Wanted Dead or Alive. And when he comes on the TV, pow, 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 the Rifleman. Y'all remember him. And they even had a comedy version that they threw in there. And they called it F Troop. Boy, that was a cowboy picture there. When Indian fights were colorful sights and nobody took a licking. When pale face and red skins both turned chicken. Boy, I used to love me some cowboys back then. I guess you can see, I still remember the song, the theme songs when they came on. But now, when I was growing up, we had a black and white TV. So if any of these pictures were in color, I don't know anything about it. But sometimes today you may catch one that have a colorized version of it. Well, there came a cowboy picture in the late 60s. And that picture, that program, that cowboy, that Western, it was entitled, The Sons of Will Sonnen. Now this cowboy picture was set in the 1870s, and it came on ABC, and the star was a man by the name of Walter Brennan. And he played the dad of the granddad, old man. His name was Will Sonnen. Now Will Sonnen was a capable gun handler. And one thing, when someone came and crossed his path, he very graciously told them about his abilities. And he did it in an intimidating way. He would tell them, you know, I taught my son, Jim Sonnen, how to handle a gun. And he's a gunfighter now. And you know, I taught his son, and he's better than he is. And then here comes the part where he and the show got their handle from. He said, and I'm better than both of them. No brag, just fact. And now, if you didn't take him seriously, he would show you that he wasn't bragging, that he was telling the truth. Now, to get into our lesson, let's define the two key words, brag and fact. When you talk about brag, we're thinking about a man that says boast, or to use boastful language. Excessive pride over one's accomplishments. Fact. Say it's a known to actually exist. It's a reality. It's what's called truth. Now, let's examine this lesson, no brag, just fact, from a biblical point of view. This morning, I want you to see and think about these three ideas. Do you brag? What does the Bible say about bragging? No brag, just fact. Do you brag? What does the Bible say about bragging? No brag, just fact. Now, the question, do you brag, is just a simple question. And I think that sometimes we all have a tendency or an occasion to do a little brag. We brag about our achievements. For instance, child, you know I finished college in 2 years? Yeah. You know what? I received the Nobel Peace Prize in shooting marbles. Man, I ran a marathon in an hour and a half. We have a tendency to brag about our children. My child graduated magna summa cum laude. Yeah. My son, at the age of 7, sang the impossible dream at the band and choir concert. My daughter, at the age of 11, played her recital at the Apollo Theater. Oh, yeah. We brag about our children. We can brag about our positions or our status in life. You know, I was just promoted to the Southeast Regional Project Manager. I was just named president and CEO of our North American subsidiary. We brag about what we have. Man, you know, I have a 5-car garage and I still had to park 2 of my cars out in the driveway. Girl, I have a special closet so I can keep my 300 pairs of shoes in. And even our young people are not immune to bragging. You know, on my 16th birthday, my mama and my daddy gave me a new car. We brag about what we do. You know, I'll be taking a 2-week cruise to Alaska. After I leave Alaska, I'll fly to Hawaii for 2 weeks at a resort to stay there. Then I'll fly on to Europe for 3 weeks to do some sightseeing. Yeah, we brag about what we do, what we can do. We even brag about how much money we have. You know, I keep about $100,000 in about 3 checking accounts, so no matter where I go, I'll always get my hands on some cash. Yeah. But now, in order to be fair about this, some bragging is okay, just as some bragging is not okay. For instance, some people brag about their new baby, the new grandbaby, or the new great-grandbaby. How cute they are, how they look like so-and-so. There's nothing wrong with you bragging about your children like that. My child has a learning disability. But you know they were able to pass the entrance exam to get into college? That's the kind of bragging, you know, that's okay. So whether you want to admit it today or not, we all have a tendency to brag or boast about something, even if we do it unconsciously. What does the Bible have to say about bragging? Here are 9 things the Bible has to say about bragging, boasting, or high-minded. Now, don't think just because I said 9 things, I'm going to be here all day. Before you know it, this lesson is going to be yours. Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse number 3, warns us that we should not think more highly of ourselves than what? Than we ought to think. It tells us that we should think in a temperate manner. It tells us that we should think about ourselves with a solemn attitude. You know, we don't want to go around boasting and bragging about ourselves, patting ourselves so much in the back that we get carpal tunnel from patting ourselves on the back. Yeah. Our thoughts of ourselves should not be excessive or in exaggeration. Solomon gives us this advice in Proverbs chapter number 27, verse 2, that we should let someone else praise us instead of ourselves. See, they have the tendency to get it right, and we have the tendency to get it over right. Matthew, the priest, the son of Korah, who's the son of Levi, of the Levitical priesthood, he tells us in Psalms chapter 44 and verse number 8 that we should do our boasting or our bragging in God all day long. Why? Because this is a safe place in which to brag. You know something? Because God deserves all the bragging and boasting he can get. Can't nobody do me like they say, like the Lord. That weeping prophet, Jeremiah, he tells us in Jeremiah 9:23 what God has to say about bragging. I know we always quote this scripture, but the text that I'm using today not only comes from the King James, but it comes from the Living Bible and the New Living Testament. And this kind of puts it in the frame of mind that I want you to be in today about bragging. It says, the wise man must not brag about his wisdom. The strong man must not brag about his strength. The rich man must not brag about his money. But if you want to brag, brag that you understand and know the only true and living God. That he's fair, he's kind, and that he does things right in this earth. If you want to brag about that, strong man, rich man, wise man, brag that you know God. We talked about in our Sunday school lesson this morning how a rich man, his crops exploded, and when he got down to the bottom line, only person he bragged on was praise was himself. Now I'm going to sit back with all the stuff that I have. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. Bragging on himself. And he never got a chance to taste one ear of corn, one grape, one apple, nothing. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 12 that those that exalt themselves, seeing themselves as the greatest, will be sadly disappointed. Because they will be humble. Peter warns us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 5 that God opposes or acts against or fights those that are proud, those that are boastful, those that are arrogant, those that are self-important. Sometimes we can be so important to ourselves that we walk over, look down on other people. I think it was the fifth dimension that saying what goes up, I may be wrong, must come down. But now we must realize even the balloons that they send up in the air, sooner or later they do come down. So Peter says that God will fight against you. David in Psalms 101 says that God will not tolerate a boastful person. God will not tolerate a boastful person. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs that God, there are seven things that God hates. And one of them was a prideful, a boastful, a bragging look. You know, some people don't have to say anything. It's the way they walk, the way they carry their head. They want you to know, hey, as the song goes, I am somebody. Yeah, I know a whole lot of music, y'all, so I may go somewhere sometimes. But that's what they want. They want you to feel like I'm somebody. And because I'm somebody, when I come through, you need to get out of my way. But God hates that type of person. Again, the wise man Solomon tells us plainly in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 4 that bragging is sin. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 10 and 12 bears this out. And he says that God will turn against the king of Assyria. And he's going to punish him. And you know why? Because he was doing all this bragging about what I did, what I accomplished. Look at me. God said, wait a minute. I sent you over there to capture my people. I gave you the manpower. I gave you the strategy. I gave you the strength. And I helped you carry it out. And now you're going to say, look at what my hands got me. God does not like bragging in that fashion. Sometimes our bragging will make us feel like we're Mr. Big Stuff. Y'all know who Mr. Big Stuff is. Now because you wear all those fancy clothes and you have a big fine car, yes you do. Don't think I can afford to give you my love because you think you're higher than. Now, y'all never heard of that song? Higher than every star above, Mr. Big Stuff. Who do you think you are? You see, bragging will even make you seem like you know it all. You get to talking and talking, and you talk so much and so long, not only you forget what you're talking about, you forget who you were talking to, and you forget who was even in the crowd. That crowd may have left, and you might have a whole new people you're talking to, but you just keep on talking. But Paul tells us this in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 16. He said, don't try to act big. Don't be no Mr. Big Stuff. And he said, and besides this, you don't know it all. If you run across somebody that knows it all, keep running. Because they may lead you in the wrong direction. What does the Bible have to say about bragging? It says a lot. But not all of it is negative. No brag, just fact. The Bible tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, verse number 7, the B portion, that there's a time to be quiet and a time to speak. And by the time I finish this lesson, I hope that you will know there's a time to refrain from bragging and a time to brag. In the world today, we've all possibly have looked or researched and gone out for a job and had a job interview. Now, when you're looking for that new job and it's time for you to go on that interview, and you're sitting at the table, you're sitting here and the interviewer is sitting over there, and they begin to ask you questions about your ability, your capability, and your stability. Let me ask you something. Are you just going to sit there and say little or nothing? When you're at that interview, it's your time to shine. See, you are there to sell your product. What's your product? That's it. You. So now, you need to do a little bragging on yourself. You need to tell these people what you can do, what you have done, your accomplishments, your achievements, and what you plan on being able to do for this company. So when that interview is over, the interviewer will say, This is the person for that job. I really don't need to look any further. Yeah. This is a time when you need to really brag on yourself. And the Bible will help me support this argument. In Numbers chapter 13 and 14, Moses sent out spies to check out the land of Canaan. When they returned, 10 of them said, "Moses, we can't win. It's impossible. They got some big old folks over there. Their cities are fortified and walled up high." He said, "Oh yeah, the stuff over there good. Look at here, look at this pomegranate, look at these grapes. They got stuff, Moses, but we can't do it." But Caleb and Joshua, they said, "Don't fear these people. These people will be like bread for us to eat. Don't fear them, because God is on our side. With God on our side, we don't have to worry about anything." What you saying, Jacob and Joshua? No brag. Just fact. We can handle this. In Daniel chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar made a decree saying that everyone must worship my gods and my golden image. But they come along and say, "Look here, King, we have three Jewish boys that will not bow down, nor will they worship you." "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, bring them here. Go get them." He brought them. He said, "They will either worship or burn. Stoke the fire. Get it ready." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They came before the king and said, "King, look at here. My God, throw us in the fire. My God, if he want to, he can save us. But on the hand, if he choose not to, we're still not going to bow down. No brag, just fact." Sometimes we need to take a stand and let people know, this is where I am. No brag, just fact. We rush on down a little bit more, a little further into the chapter of Daniel, book of Daniel, chapter 6. We find now the kingship has passed from Nebuchadnezzar to Darius, and Darius has been tricked into making a new law saying, for the next 30 days, no man can ask any man anything or any God anything except for me. But now they knew old Daniel was going to face the east toward Jerusalem three times a day and pray. And so there they are, waiting. There you go, y'all. That's one time. Uh-oh, there you go, y'all. That's two times. And in the evening time, we got him. Let's go. They said, "King, did not you make a decree that nobody for the next 30 days should ask any man, any God, anything except for you?" He said, "Yeah, I did it." He said, "Well, that guy Daniel that you put over Babylon, he is now over there praying. He's praying three times a day, asking his God for favors." Darius knew he was in trouble, because he liked him some Daniel. Now, he tried to figure out what he was going to do. He could never figure out it. He said, "Y'all come back in the morning. I'll get back with you." They said, "Well, King, what you going to do? You can't save him." They said, "Okay, go get him. Put him in the lion's den." The king was so disturbed and so distressed that he couldn't sleep all night long. He came, got up early the next morning, went rushing down to the cave where Daniel was. And he said, "Daniel, was your God able to save you?" And he had his ear up against the cave, and there came a voice that said, "O King, live forever." Why? "Because my God sent an angel to close the mouth of the lions, and they couldn't touch me." Amen. No brag, just fact. We move a little bit further, and we find that not only does Daniel have a testimony. In our lesson today, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about the false people, the false preachers. We got false preachers around here today telling they're all about this, a bag of potato chips, a cup of coffee, and a drink, and they ain't about nothing. Paul said, they're saying all this about me, that I'm not a true apostle. He said, look at this. They talk about they are the seed of Abraham. He said, so am I. They talk about them being a Hebrew. So am I. Paul said, they go as far as said, they serve Jesus. He said, I serve Jesus. He said, not only do I serve him, he said, I serve him much harder than they do. He said, look at my record. He said, I've been put in jails more times than they have. He said, I've been whipped times without number. He said, I've been beat so many times I can't even remember. He said, I constantly face death. He said, 5 times my fellow Jews have beaten me 39 times with those terrible stripes. He said, 3 times was I beaten with rods. 3 times was I shipwrecked. He said, I was even stoned once. He said, all my traveling was weary. He said, because he said, I was in dangers of floods, in dangers of robbers, in danger of my own Jews, my countrymen. He said, in danger of the Gentiles. He said, I was in danger of the cities. When I went there, there were mobs that were after me. He said, I was in danger in the desert. He said, I was in danger on the seas. He said, even my own brothers, sometimes those of our own household will be our enemy. Paul said, even my own brothers who turned out not to be brothers were seeking my harm. He said, but out of all this, it still wasn't over. He said, I was hungry. He said, I was tired. He said, I was cold. I was thirsty. He said, I was in pain. And he said, God knows I don't lie. No brag, just fact. Deuteronomy chapter 32, the great prophet Moses writes this of the Almighty God. He said, vengeance is mine. I decreed punishment for all the her enemies, and they are doomed, and that doom is sealed. He said, I am God, and I'm all God by myself. He said, I kill, and I make alive. He said, I wound, and I can turn around and heal my wounds. He said, no one can deliver a person out of my hands. No brag, just fact. As I move to my conclusion, I need to tell you about a man named Jesus who said I must need to do some bragging, but he had to do it in a humble fashion. I think about the loving Apostle John when he writes in chapter 10. He said it's one time in Jerusalem and Jesus was walking around the temple and all of a sudden the Jews surrounded him and said, tell us plainly. Don't keep us in doubt any longer. Answer us. Are you the Christ? I can feel Jesus now so just anguished in his heart. He says, I have already told you. And you didn't believe. He said, look, the proof is in the miracles that I do in God's name. He said, if I ask you a question, you won't even answer me. So I'm gonna leave it alone. He said, think about it. He said, you can't understand, you can't believe me because you're not part of my flock. He said, my flock, my sheep, hear my voice. They'll follow me. He said, I will give them eternal life. And guess what? When I give them eternal life, no one can pluck them out of my hand. No brag, just fact. We move over to John chapter 14. We find these words of Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. No brag, just fact. He moves on down and say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, I don't care who he is, no man comes to the Father but by me. No brag, just fact. And whatsoever you ask in my name, he said, I'll give it to you. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll give it to you so that God can be glorified through me.
Amen.
In my name, ask it. I'll give it. No brag, just fact. The Jewish leadership, on the night of his betrayal, they took Jesus to trial and they asked him, tell us if you are the Christ. Jesus tells them, if I answer, you won't believe. He said, but the time is coming when I, the Christ, the Son of the living God, will be enthroned next to God Almighty. No brag, just fact. Do you want to be a child of the Most High God? It's simple, it's painless, and it's free. No brag, just fact. You must be born again of water and a spirit. No brag, just fact. You must hear the gospel, how Jesus was born of a virgin, how he lived a sinless life, how he died on the cross, that old cross on the hill called Calvary, was buried and rose to life on the third day, never, never to die again. He says in the book of Revelations, I am he that once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. No brag, just fact. He said, you must believe. You must believe that Jesus is the Christ, and he died for you. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. No brag, just fact. We must confess. However, we must repent. We must repent of all our wrongdoings, of all your wrongdoings, all of my wrongdoings. Jesus said, except you repent, you will perish. No brag, just fact. And you must confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, before men. Amen. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me, I will deny you before God which is in heaven. No brag, just fact. So you must be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of sins to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, when he was walking toward the River Jordan, and John the Baptizer saw him coming, and he said, wait a minute, you coming for me to baptize you? He said, I can't even tie your shoes, man, but come on, baptize me. Jesus said, John, allow this to happen. Baptize me. Why? Because we must obey all God has told us to do. No brag, just fact. Be faithful. Be a faithful working servant till death calls you to receive your reward. Jesus tells us, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. No brag, just fact. If you've done these things, but unfortunately, you have strayed away, you need to repent, confess, and pray. God, who is dependable and true, is willing to forgive you and welcome you back home. No brag, just fact. I pray and trust that I've been able to say something to you this morning that will help you to understand and realize that God loves you. He's done a lot for you. People have gone through a lot because of God for us. No brag, just fact. It started a long time ago in the Garden of Eden, when God told Adam and Eve, look, I'm going to send someone through you all that's going to overcome this person that you succumb to. And through the process of time, because God loves us, he sent his son, born of a woman, to take care of what Satan messed up. And when God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. No brag, just fact. He says this: whatsoever you do in this world, you're going to have to give an account for it. One day we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we shall receive our just reward for whatever we have done, whether they have been good or whether they have been bad. No brag, just fact. If you're here today and need to get on the right side of the God of heaven, today is the day that you need not to harden your voice, but to answer the call. Because in Proverbs 27, chapter verse number 1, it says that we can't boast about tomorrow because we don't know what's going to happen today. You need to get yourself together today. Tomorrow's not promised. No brag, just fact. And if you're ready, the water's ready. God has been ready for over 1,000 years, waiting for this moment for you to reach out your hand to him and say, Lord, I am ready to bend to your will and not to mine. I know I have said in the past that I'm not ready. I got more time. I'm still a young person. Or I have a lot to accomplish in my life. Wait till I get to where I need to be, and then I come to where you want me to be. You are here right now. Why? Because this is where God wants you to be. And he's saying, behold, now's the acceptable time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Won't you come as we together stand and sing of our song? Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.